Well, if Satchit Ananda is what it is, chit means absolute knowledge. And if Satchit Ananda is inside, if the Atman is one in Satchit Ananda, that means that if you go inside, must be everything that is outside. If that were indeed true, that would mean that what you think you are learning, you are merely remembering. How about that one? That you already know it all. However, you as a finite ego is much too trivial to know it all, obviously. I used to teach, or have taught, and help teach, a form of karate in the junior high schools. Now, I didn't teach it so that they could learn how to break boards and each other's skulls and backs and lives, although many of them signed up for it under those with that anticipation. Gain power through karate. But in fact, I knew they would gain power because one of the prerequisites for karate is one-pointedness of mind. Putting your energy in one place, focusing it, directing it. Now, I had a long-range program in mind. Unfortunately, it blew up, so, because those things never work that way, and you can't play that way, as Krishna keeps telling us in the Bhagavad Gita. Well, my model, see, was I get everybody one-pointed in junior high school. Then in high school, I teach them how to turn back in on their own minds, and they'd all go into Satchit Ananda, and then being in chit, they would know it all, and then they would be finished with their education, because they'd already have done it all. What is there to learn? They already know it all. But I couldn't explain this to any of the officials of the school. Because they didn't know they knew it all. Think you know it all, huh? I'm sure many of you have had that experience of coming to an inner place inside yourself where you are one with it all. And when you're at that place, in that higher state of consciousness, you look about and you understand how it all is. But if someone were to say to you, "How is it all?" that would bring you to a place where you would not any longer know how it all is. What a perplexing predicament. See, the predicament is the following, that in the West we only know, we only think we know when we know we know. That is, when we can rehearse to ourselves in words that we know. What do you know? Well, I know, Gallia est duisi in tres partes. I know, amo, amas, amat, amamas, amo. One half base times the height equals. partners. People constantly come to me and say, if your guru is so good, couldn't we bring him over here so he could prove he's that good? Couldn't we prove to the Western world? Prove to the Western world. See, what is, pit that one against Krishna saying, never teach those who are not ready to hear, and you see why that never happens. Why that never happens. Because in fact, everybody is constantly receiving information at a level that they can't know they know, and therefore they reject. Constantly, all the time. The minute you let down your barriers of how you know, then you know. See, a mother will say, I knew my child was in trouble by intuition. And we say, well, that's a mother, you know. We let a few sneak by, see. We say, but they don't bear careful scrutiny, or we'll find out that, you know, something like's happened that could explain it. Could explain it. It's like how we deal with, call it, psychic phenomena, parapsychic phenomena, whatever that means. If you have watched your own behavior of picking your friends, you will see that time and time again you have picked people who in the end you've said, isn't it amazing how they all turn out the same? Every girl I go out with always turns out to, you know, like I couldn't have predicted. Huh. Everything is known all the time. I mean, you have got to face, just as I have had to face, the reality of the matter, that I have met a man who knows it all. He knows the future, he knows the past, he knows the present, he knows it all. He is one with it all. He just understands it all. And there's a human being, a real live human being you can pinch, and he says, ouch. And he knows it all. And if one does it, we all do it. Why don't you know it all? Because you only let in what you can know you know. That's such a hard one to grasp. Know you know. People play with the periphery of this other kind of knowledge. They say, I sensed something. I had a foreboding. I intuitively, and they go through these subtle little ways of saying that they had other information they were playing with. Gamblers say they have this other sense, a gambling sense. Sure, they have a gambling sense. I've been so high on LSD, I've walked in and looked at the roulette table and seen what the next thing was going to come up, and I play it and I win. And I freak myself completely. I say, oh, watch it, baby. You're playing with wrong powers now. You're going to lead yourself to terrible karma. So you only take a moderate gain, right? What I find is the more I give up knowing I know at any moment, the more I accept the state of absolute mindlessness, the more I accept the state that I don't understand what's happening, the higher level of energy, the higher level of awareness, the more that's happening at every moment. But it's that, it's so elusive, it's that will-o'-the-wisp elusiveness, like, if I know it, why can't I know it? And that's the thing that has plagued philosophers and plagued, it plagued people like Huxley and it plagued people like Plato. The elusiveness of infinite wisdom by the finite mind. Now, how close you can get, but you can't grab it. You can't grab it, because it isn't knowable that way. As the ego gets thinner, as you give up, he who knows, he who loves, he who does, the doer, as you give up the doer in every dimension, the intellectual doer, the emotional doer, the physical doer, as you give up that identification, as you give up identifying with a finite being in time and space, as that thins and thins and thins and thins and thins and thins, then you become one more and more with the forces around you, with the patterns around you. You become one more and more with the ocean. You drown in the ocean. And the faith that is required is exactly what the critical ingredient is. The faith to allow yourself to drown. To drown in order to live. You've got to die to live, is what the statement is. It's like sailing and going with the wind. Going with the wind. See, it says, life is all floating downstream. If you think you're swimming, you're in the wrong place. You're identified in the wrong way. If you think there's something to do, like the matter of study. In the West, when we talk about study, we think about reading lots of books and collecting lots of knowledge. In the East, when we talk about study, you mean take a shloka, take one phrase, and work with it. It's enough. Because everything that's knowable is already inside you, so all you need is leverage to go in. You don't need anything out there. There couldn't be anything that important in here. It just couldn't be. If you are not at the place that every time you read a book, it is merely affirming what you already know, you're still attached at the wrong level. And you ought to stop reading for a while and go inside and center and get to the place where it all is. And then every book you pick up, sure, right, didn't he say that well? Didn't I say that well? Read Buddha's writing well. I'm writing well today. Reading Ramakrishna, oh, don't I have that... Boy, I really am good at that, yes. Yes, I think my phrasing is exquisite. I am it all. I know it all. It's all coming out of me. Because all I did was I moved one level up, one tiny frequency up, where there is no longer subject-object, where it just, here it is. It's all right here. Here it is. I am one with it all. We are love. We are energy. We are light. We are consciousness. How many ways can we say it? How many ways, how many times can we say it? And now I found that I can love Ram right through the veil until Ram and I are one. As they, when Ram asked Hanuman, the monkey, the servant, who are you? Hanuman said, when I don't know who I am, I serve you, and when I know who I am, you and I are one. And I am a servant, and I serve everyone all the time. That's my gig, the gig of service. And the more I serve you, the closer we get. And I'm in the pure role of servant to master. That which is Ram in you is my master. And I wish to serve that which is God in you. How may I serve you, I ask. How may I serve you, Ram? How may I surrender through service as a form of love? How can I give up more through coming through not my but thy will, O Lord? Not my but thy will, O Lord. How can I get to that place where thy will takes over and where I am one in thy will? Give up my will. You say, do you have a few minutes? And I say, sure. Surrender, surrender, keep surrendering, surrender some more. Haven't given up enough yet. Keep giving it up. When you have found that secret of human relations, you've beat the game. You see that? I live in a place inside where I am love. Who are you? How can I be unloved? I am love. How can I be lonely? Here we are. False, phony, unrealistic, not dealing with the realities of human relations. Which reality is that? Which take are you doing? It's hard work to get close to people. You think if we climb in a big physical heap, we will be closer together? Why don't we have a confrontation group? We'll share egos. Will that do it? It will only do it if there's someone in that group that knows who we are is not all that. Nobody knows that. Forget it. It's just more and more exquisite ego dramas. I'm going down to the AAHP meetings next week. The American Association of Humanistic Psychologists. And simultaneous with my speaking, Bill Schutz is speaking in the main ballroom. And Bill Schutz is the big speaker, see? And he's speaking on group confrontations. And Bill Schutz came to have darshan with me a number of times in Big Sur. And it took me a long time to be able to love Bill Schutz enough to get through Bill Schutz's game of being Bill Schutz, being Mr. Interaction. It was the same with Fritz Perls. We can develop more and more exquisite super ego games. But if you don't know that one fundamental fact, that who you are isn't all that, forget it. Forget it. Everybody's asleep. Everybody's asleep. I live right on the edge of a funny state that when I calm down and I'm quiet, I enter into a place where everything is perfectly harmonious and fits and is beautiful and obvious and apparent and is love. And the minute I try to act upon it, I try to act, that is, I come into, now I'll, it all gets cacophonous. Because it's much too much. It's too much, too much. And so slowly I have been learning by this kind of school of hard knocks to give up the model of he who is the doer. Like you experience love with somebody and it gets more and more intense and then you want to do something about it. I want to embrace you. I want to make love to you. I want to tell you I love you. I want to say it's all right. I want to rip the ego away. I want to, you know, I want to merge. I want to grok you. I want to grok you in your fullness. And it's, I can't. That's a finite ego trip. There's something to do. You got to do something. To show him it's your love. That's still identifying with the doer. And I sit there loving somebody so much and saying to myself, there's nothing to do. Wow, nothing to do. Imagine that. There's nothing at all to do about this situation. I mean, we got to do something to make the world more loving. That's exactly the fallacy. That statement is a fallacious statement. That's why the exquisiteness of the original concept of the you man be in, the human being be in, the be ins. Just come and be. Well, what'll we do? We had this extraordinary meeting in New York before the New York City human being and on Easter Sunday in Central Park. And there were about 10 of us, and there was a woman who represented the Park Department of New York City. And she said, now, you're going to have the sunrise service at 6 in the morning, and then you're planning to have the group singing at noon. What are you going to do with the people between 7 and noon? Let's see, we could have floats on the lake, and we could have an Easter egg hunt for the kids. And the finders could get golden Easter eggs. And we all, you know, looked in disbelief. And I said to her, who are them? Who are those people that need to be entertained? Well, all the thousands of people that have come to the be-in. But what do you think be-in means? I said, all they did was come to be there. She said, well, you've got to entertain them. Got to entertain them. And finally, she couldn't understand our concept, that it was enough for us just to come and be together. The statement of our sheer existence was enough. There wasn't anything that had to be done. Nobody had to do anything. All we had to do was just be there. Just be. I'll look at you, you look at me. Here we are. You're God, I'm God. Isn't that enough, man? I don't often look at God. If I look more, wow, there's God. There's God. Wow. It's a big day. Big day. She didn't understand, so the park department decided they wouldn't help us. So we did it by ourselves, and there was, I don't know, 5,000-10,000 people, and the whole thing cost, what, $253. And it was a groove. Extraordinarily beautiful, gentle, high day. Sure you want to sit in the sun like that, Glenn? But the minute one being had occurred, then all the people come along who say, well, we got to do something with that. Okay? Let's do something with the beings. Let's see, we'll have the being march to... We'll have a protest at the being. Because we are coming out of a tradition that we have been in for ever so long, a tradition that doing, not being, is the measure of a man. It's the Protestant ethic. So clear how it works. What have you been doing lately? What do? Have you done enough? I used to write letters home from prep school. When I wanted a certain reaction from my parents, I'd write home and I'd say, she said, I've been working so hard. And they'd write back and say, take it easy, we love you. Or I'd write a letter home saying, I've been having a great time. They'd write back and say, well, don't let up on your work. It was predictable, you know. Working hard enough? Achieving enough? Know me by my achievements. People come to me and say, look, it's all right for you to talk. You've got a PhD, and you've got that, and you've got that. But look at... My kid doesn't even have an education yet. You shouldn't be telling that kid how to live. What the hell? They'll become like you now, and they don't have all those achievements behind them. It's like they have to go through that 20 years of neurosis before they can be, you know. But what is evolving now, which is most, most interesting, most extraordinary, is a culture of here and now isness. that being rather than doing becomes a statement that is enough. Because if you look right beneath the veneer of doing, it was always justified on the basis of final being. If you do, you will feel like a good person. You will finally be enough. You'll finally be enough if you do. And the wisdom of the here and now is that means and ends are one, that he who does without doing, just through his being, does in harmony in the Tao, and it's always enough. Simple rule. We are coming to live in the Tao. But look what happened to those Easterners. They're all starving to death. I lived in a little village in the northern part of India, and I lived with people who had very few resources and lived very simply, much simpler than what we call our underprivileged people in the West. Their income was maybe 35, 40 cents a day. At night they sat around, one man played the tabla and one man played the harmonium, and they sang love songs to Ram. Evening after evening after evening. And they ate chapatis and they ate khejri every day. And every day was a holy day, and they were always living in that divine presence day after day after day. And all I can say is that it awed me and blew my mind and completely infirmed all of the hypotheses I was functioning under, because the fact of the matter was these people who were the underprivileged, from my point of view, had a much deeper sense of here and now being contentment, fulfillment, than I did or that anybody I knew and came from did.